it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Minnesota for senior night on Sunday, March 6th at 6:30 p.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. On tomorrow's show, we will talk with Joe Ostrowski. I have a lot of things to chat with him about on the show tomorrow. And Jason Leisure will join us from the Combine. I talked to Jason last night. He is very bored in Indianapolis, and I'm going to talk to him about being bored at the Combine, and we will do that on tomorrow's show. Parkins and Spiegel did some really great radio yesterday as the news came down. I hope that people listen to it, and if not, they go back and listen to the podcast, whether it was interacting with each other or interacting and taking phone calls from people who were clearly lying about what they were going to do when baseball came back. The boys did some really heavy lifting, and it was good radio. Hello, gentlemen.
Thank you for that,
Lawrence. Thanks for the compliment, Lawrence. And I am sure that you talking to Jason Leisure about being bored will be anything but boring.
That's my hope. Yeah, that's my hope. I had like a 20-minute conversation with him. I was like, so wait, are you going to St. Elmo's? Because that's what football writers do when they're in Indianapolis. He's like, no, I'm just like writing a story, and I'm just going to stay in the hotel. And I'm like, really? It was like 70 degrees in Indy yesterday.
Is that outside. Is that because he's not friendly with anybody or because he's just efficiently doing his job?
No, he's very friendly. Like but he's also like super efficient. Like he wants to get the stuff done, and
it's good.
And he's taking covering the Bears at the Combine very seriously.
Good. Well, I'm sure then it'll be great information. And yeah, yesterday's show was weird because, you know, we don't take a ton of calls, but we are trying to take more calls.
I miss taking calls
recently, but not like, you know, we're targeted calls, right? Like for a specific reason.
I just want to open the phone lines, talk to anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Or hello.
Yeah, exactly. But it was strange that, you know, a percentage of the callers were like, I don't know why you guys are talking about the lockout. I'm done with baseball because of the DH. I was like, really?
I heard that call, and I was just like, my favorite part, like, I wasn't watching on Twitch because I was eating dinner because I'm, you know, an old man. I was having dinner at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can see Danny roll his eyes from Hyde Park when the guy started telling you, well, you know what you need to do, sir? You need to go back to watch that World Series with the Detroit Tigers. And I was just like, oh, my God, Danny's rolling his eyes so hard at this moment.
I can assure you, sir, that I will not be going back and watching that World Series to seek out this bunt that you mentioned.
I did love the bunt. You know, we're just in a very...
Oh, wait. One more thing.
Yes,
Speed.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I was yelling at my radio at you because you were saying, oh, yeah, smart people in the league agree with you. And then you brought up Joe Maddon. And in my mind, like my reflexive, like score jag mind was...
Is that a smart person?
No, what? No. My retort was, and what league does Joe manage in now?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Briar Patch, though. That's where Joe was birthed as a baseball
human. He's so happy
human.
There, too.
Oh,
I'll just
dude.
Tell you. He's so happy.
Right?
There.
He can write every single ticket. Have you interacted with him? I know you guys connected very well over music and vinyl and such when you were doing
yes.
the weekly.
The last time that I was at a spring training, it was with him, and he took me around. I mean, Joe's never mad or angry. Like he's always in a pretty good mood. He toured me around, And he was just telling me like how much fun he was having being back in with the Angels as a franchise.
Well, think about
the
it.
The man
dude.
Is living the life.
Well, I, like here, the baseball boss was the Hall of Famer to be, the curse breaker himself, who absolutely ruled the all the baseball decisions at this place, right? There, the baseball boss, Perry Minasian, is the son of the former clubhouse guy for Mike Socia and Joe Maddon's Angels when they won the whole thing in 2002. Like, Joe basically raised that kid who is now the GM. So how do you think that relationship is going as opposed to the one that went here? You know,
I think it's going Joe's way.
I think it's going
That's
really
what I
well.
Think.
And we're in a really weird spot, right? An interesting moment where I think we, as a group here, as talk show hosts, as producers, as baseball people really around the industry, we can intellectually look at it and say, man, the owners are more at fault here. You know, it's like the owners are the ones who are doing this, orchestrating this. They're the ones who haven't wanted to talk and their negotiating tactics have been hinky and everything like that. And the calls seem to be a succession of some people who are brave enough to come on and say, you know what, I'm actually kind of a little angry at the players too. And then they get shouted down or they get reasoned to. And again, that's where I am too. But history tells us that the damage that's getting done here is happening to the players as well. Like the damage that ends up lasting is to the entire enterprise. People will boo players. People will boo owners. People will be angry at the entire existence of the game. And some of them will not be shaken off what they think about it right now. And some of them won't bother to do some of the research that it takes to really understand the full differences of the situation. You know, the damage is going to be lasting and it's going to be for everybody.
I think that that's right. It's going to be, I think right now we know that damage has been done. But the question is, fatality, flesh wound?
Like, fatality.
Where in between, right? Like
people will claim fatalities and they're talking.
It'll be a flesh wound. I mean, like,
I think so too.
But you know why, Danny? Because the thing is that it's not just, as baseball has become more regional, it's very tribal. And while a White Sox fan may be mad at baseball, I'm using air quotes, may be mad at baseball, they're not going to be mad at Tim Anderson. They're not going to be mad at Aloy when Aloy hits a three-run homer in the eighth inning that puts you ahead.
Well, that's the thing. Players will have a chance to win the love back by performing and interacting a little bit.
And so, honestly, so will the owners. If then the free agency frenzy that will happen, because what is it, like 150 free agents that still don't have homes?
More, 200.
So once you get to, oh, well, they figured out their issues, and now my owner is spending like a drunken sailor, I love my owner too. My owner was probably not one of the bad owners in this. My owner was probably great.
Yeah, I think a lot of people fall into the category with baseball of, if my team is good, I enjoy baseball and my team. And if my team is bad, I don't love the game enough to care a whole heck of a lot about the game. Like, that's reflected in the World Series ratings. World Series ratings are not significant. You know, like in the grand scheme of things compared to big games in other sports, bowl games in college football, NBA playoff game, you know, like it's not that big because of what you're saying, Lawrence. It's so regional. So I think that, like, as long as the White Sox are good when they come back, White Sox fans will be really engaged. Cubs fans, obviously, there's a lot of us. And Wrigley is always a summer destination in Chicago for tourists, so maybe it won't be as felt on the north side in some places. But, man, if you got a bad team and then this all is happening, you could have some checked out fan bases for a year or two until it gets back. Like, I don't know if we'll see protests. I don't know if we'll see booing. I don't know exactly what we'll see. I think it's going to depend. Like, if they play 156 games, I don't know that it's going to be that significant.
I think we'll just see the continued decline in the numbers of the passionate and the decline in the numbers of some of the attendees, of some of the viewers for the big stuff like you're talking about. And, you know, an advancement of the people that called the other day and said, you know, nobody at my office seems to really care what's going on.
Well, I mean, imagine getting, you know, I always talk about, like, the sweet spot for me with sports was, you know, like 10 to 12 years old. And so that's why the Cubs and the Bulls were the two biggest things for me in terms of pure fandom. Had the home run chase of 98 with Sosa, and that capped up the second three-peat. Of the Jordan Bulls. If you're an 11-year-old kid in this city right now, man, you just have a lot of other things. Like it'd just be easier to get hyped about this Bulls team.
Yes,
correct. Or about Justin Fields.
Our guy Chris Tannehill was 11 years old in 1994 when the sport was taken away with the White Sox being great. And he said it did take him a little while. But imagine an 11-year-old Chris Tannehill now, or an 11-year-old now, like you're saying, Danny, if baseball gets taken away, like, well, I guess I'm not excited about the White Sox this year. I'll do some other stuff. I'll do some other things.
That's my point about it being a flesh wound. Like, I don't want it to be the death knell of baseball. I really don't. And I don't think it will be. Because that same 11-year-old Chris Tannehill then, when it looks like the White Sox are tearing down and building back up, he's at the forefront of the parade. Like, he's right there to tell you. Like, he literally had a White Sox podcast to discuss his favorite team. I do wonder, though, about the growing of fans and whether those of us, and Tanny's probably, I think, on the numbers would say that he's on the young end of baseball fandom. Of how do we allow people to capture it? And I was painting a picture, and it does feel like I'm making a straw man argument, but I was sitting here doing a podcast yesterday, and I look out the window, and one of my neighbors is out playing catch with his son. And when I went outside to talk to him and say, hey, it was a new glove that they were breaking in. And I'm sitting there with this juxtaposition of this guy teaching his son about the game that we all love while I'm looking in my office at the TV at Rob Manfred's face. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, would you look at this? Here's a new fan that's going to have his heart broken in 2027 when this happens again. And it's just horrible. Like it's horrible, but because of the way that fans interact with their own team in baseball, they're only going to be mad to a point. And I think the owners have exploited that. That they know that if their team is going to compete, and I'll keep using the example of the White Sox. White Sox fans are going to be hyped because of the window that the White Sox are in right now, which is why it's aggravating and it makes you furious. Things that you have no control over, like a pandemic, getting in the way of your team's window. It's one of the reasons why we're as bitter as hell about everything, even after winning in 05.
The White Sox thing is ridiculous, man, in terms of timing. Window opens 2020 season, COVID-shortened year. Window open 2021 season, fans can't go for a huge percentage of the time. 2022, lockout, shortened season. That's just that is crazy terrible luck for how it is. Now, hopefully, again, they're going to be awesome whenever this thing starts, and White Sox fans will be right back there because the team is one of the most likable baseball teams I've ever seen. So I don't know how much damage could possibly be done to White Sox fans right now when like that product is out there for you. But just you shouldn't have to be thinking about any of this other nonsense when you've got a team this good and this likable.
Here's what they're doing. Here's what the entire situation is doing. When I say, write, and hear the name David Bell today, I am not thinking about the grandson of Gus Bell, the son of Buddy Bell, and the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. Oh, no, no. I'm thinking about the wide receiver from Purdue and whether the Bears should be targeting him with their first pick in round two, or whether they're
going to go Chris Olave.
I'm so proud of you, Steve.
I mean,
I'm tearing up right now.
This is what's happening. I'm looking around and I'm finding football varietals because I like sports and being excited about sports. I mean, I did my deep dive on the competitive balance tax, Danny. Like, whenever you want to schedule that segment where I can trace the origins and history of the competitive balance tax.
605.
It's important, though. It's important. We got to inform the people. You got to be wondering about this stuff.
Do we?
I'm right here for you.
Do we? I'm due for a day off soon.
But in the meantime, hot David Bell content will come to you from the combine. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that's what happens, man. It's just, it's different because, like, Lawrence, you're saying a flesh wound because it happened to Tanny in 94 in the prime sweet spot of sports fandom, and then here he is, you know, in his mid-late 30s, and he's got this popular White Sox podcast, and he's a diehard White Sox fan. But the entertainment landscape is different for the 11-year-old of 2022 than it is for for the 11-year-old of 1994, right? Like, it's just, it's a different thing. And so it's just, it's much easier to not miss baseball today than it was to not miss baseball in 1994.
And the worst part for baseball, Danny, is they haven't even started to address that part of the equation.
Yeah.
That they're stuck in this negotiation when there's a lot of baseball things to try and fix.
And do you know how much more difficult this negotiation just became yesterday? Because now they've gone away and they've got to eventually come back together, and we'll see how long that takes and where that's going to be. And then they have to talk about the time that they've missed. And the owners are convinced that they don't have to pay them for games off, and that is indeed what was decided in 95 by the judge, Sonia Sotomayor. But the players are going to fight about that, and they're going to argue about whether people get service time. So they added a whole bunch of factors to this thing yesterday.
Good sure idea. Did.
Great job, everybody.
Yeah, hey, man. But we got the Bulls.
Yeah,
who desperately need a win over a good team to calm the nerves of many of us Bulls fans out there. Like, I know it all comes with asterisk right now, but, like, man, Thursday against the Hawks, okay, fine. Friday against the Bucks. Can you figure out a way to win that game? Like, can they figure out a way to that do wonders for the vibes in this town, because we got no Bears things really right now. It's just words.
Mark Grody will be talking with us about Bears things at 4 o'clock.
That is exciting, of course.
But, it's got David Bell thoughts,
but we don't really get any actions from the Bears for a while, and we're obviously not getting any actions from baseball players.
Yeah, we need the Bulls to get their act together and get healthy.
Yeah, get healthy, get some quality wins, try to tamp down on that narrative.
You see Io last night tweeting about Wisconsin and
I
that
didn't
game.
See it.
Yeah, I was tweeting like, come on, guys. He's wanting Matt Painter and Purdue to play big and go into the big man. What are you doing? I was trying to coach him up so they can get him another title.
Their big man stinks. Like, ZD's not good. Like, I'm watching that game play out last night, and it amazes me that Ivy is probably in almost every game that they play the best player on the floor. And for some reason, in the last couple of weeks, I've watched Purdue games where I'm just like, when are you going to take over? You're the best player on the floor. Like, there's no one on Wisconsin that's as good as you. Like, not even close. And he did it for a stretch of games of the game to get Purdue back in it. I do not, as much as their resume is great, and they could end up on the one or the two line, I think that that's a team that is begging to get upset in the tournament.
Well,
who do you like? I've probably watched less college basketball this year than any year of my life dating back to when I was like 15. Like, I've watched so little college hoops this year. I mean, I was very impressed with some of what I saw from Arizona.
Arizona's really good. They're fun.
Yeah. I'm very impressed when I watched them. I saw a great Auburn game. Like, I'm just like looking at the top 10 right now. And like, this KU team is a very typical KU team.
This KU team, I wouldn't trust them either, Danny. Like,
yeah.
They're another team where I'm like, maybe they'll turn it on, but I don't quite trust them.
Yeah, no, they'll lose to some school that got one team in the tournament in the first or second round, and it'll be classic. But yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, but I know that that Friday or Saturday of March Madness, I'll be there with 15 bets and
8 Moscow Mules, and I'll be acting like an expert, and I'll be feeling very good about it.
And then week 2 of the tournament, the Parkins and Spiegel show will be out there in Vegas. Dan Bernstein's sitting in for Danny Parkins. So
that's
it'll
correct.
Be me and Bernsey out in Vegas on the 25th, and a bonus show on Saturday the 26th. Very much looking forward to that. Get a few bets down out there at Circa.
God. So jealous. So jealous. Okay. It's all right, man.
You gotta stay.
I know,
down.
I gotta be a responsible.
You're competing
adult.
In a golf tournament that weekend, right?
Is? Yeah, put it in the promo.
Yeah.
My favorite part would be that you show up.
It's in play. Steph keeps saying, she's like, if everything's fine, just fly out there that morning. I'm like, that's not what we're doing. I'm not.
Biggs will be bringing along Dan Bernstein.
Sign my ass up.
Filling in for Parkins, who's staying home for the birth of his second child.
No.
No.
Hopefully not.
Technically true.
Hopefully not.
And hopefully not true. That would be early.
Be very early again, but which has an abundance of caution because of how early Owen came last time. I'm staying home.
I just think it's weird that you're choosing to go premature again.
Yeah, right. We decided that we just loved the month-long hospital stay. So we
guys love a challenge.
Yeah.
As a couple, you love a good challenge.
Exactly. We don't want anything to be too easy for
Let's
us.
Let's add some stress into this.
Yeah.
It's like flushing before you're done urinating, you know? It's like, have a little race.
That's an interesting analogy.
Well, it's kind of how I roll.
Yeah. It's
make everything
similar.
A race.
Yeah, but I am jealous that I won't be going to Vegas.
Is that not a good analogy? Did I not stick that landing? Okay.
It's a strange
one. You know
what
I meant.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
It's fine.
Mm.
Oh, we
I thought it was funnier when I made the same joke yesterday.
What joke did you make? The same one about the flushing?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the baby being premature again. Never mind.
Yeah. No.
No. No. Well, I mean, yes, we were talking about that, but I'm glad to know you were making jokes about that too.
Yeah, we're open here, man.
Yeah, no, that's true. Old zigzag back.
It was on the air.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
Yeah, I was on the air yesterday.
I believe you.
Danny, just get in a sick burn back at Shane. Come on, man. Here, let me help you. Hey, Shane, nice beard, man. Yeah.
Got him.
Nailed
Got
that
him.
One. How's that feel?
Yeah, I'm alone.
See, Shane, go ahead and slap that target right
in
the back.
Hey, Shane, why don't you go monologue for 14 minutes, idiot?
Hey, don't try me. We'll do it again.
You make some more parboiled potatoes for one, huh? Oh, wait a minute. That one hurt, probably.
You were serving for multiple last night, I saw, on Instagram.
Had some friends in town.
Oh, there you
good,
go.
Good.
Got friends.
See?
Who do you even have to pay them?
That's perfect. Show today, Lords. We have a good guest list today. Patrick Wisdom at 3 o'clock is going to join us. Mark Grody at 4. Doug Glanville at 5. So
sounds like a wonderful show with smart people talking about serious stuff.
Yeah, and Patrick Wisdom's in a, you know, he's not young, but he lived a long minor league career, and so he knows about advocating for young players. But he's 30, but he's under contract for like 5 more years.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot.
But this year might be the most he's counted on ever for a team to perform, right? So, like, this year is hugely significant for him making a mark as a big leaguer. And I would think that he'd be the type of player that maybe would not have a ton of resolve for this fight because he is a vet who hasn't been paid and has a real role this year but isn't going to benefit from the things that they're, negotiating
for. It's interesting because the elder statesmen in the union are like, we're doing it for the next batch, you know?
Yeah.
So Wisdom should be of the age where he can think about it like that. Like Anthony Rizzo was tweeting about that. But Wisdom is of the experience where he's still making his mark. He's not even arbitration eligible
for
yet.
2 more years. Yeah. Like he's of the age where most guys have been paid if you're in the big leagues at 30. And he hasn't been. He hasn't earned. He's earned like $1.4 million in his career, including his signing bonus as a first-round pick in 2012. We were looking it up before the show. So like, I feel like his perspective is going to be really interesting, and I have no idea how he feels about any of it. So that'll be at 3 o'clock today.
Sounds good, boys. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Lawrence. Have a good one.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.